Signing day is very different now than it used to be. We're just laughing about that a little bit as coaches. I mean, we had one guy sign today, which is just the landscape of recruiting has changed a lot. Before I get to that, I want to thank, you know, our staff for putting together a great class. And most importantly, you know, is the fit for us. And we've done an unbelievable job of getting the right fit already for the guys who are here at mid-year. They're fitting in really well. And, you know, I want to publicly thank Mark Pantoni and his staff for what an unbelievable job they do, you know, year in and year out putting this thing together. Because a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and they deserve a lot of credit for it. Cameron Martinez signed today. Very excited to have Cam. He and his family handled things really well with Jeff leaving and then Kerry jumping in. He, you know, really handled it like a pro. The family was unbelievable. And, you know, we're really excited to have him. We're going to give him an opportunity to play on either side of the ball when he first gets in, which is unique. But this is somebody who played quarterback in high school, very, very productive, and doesn't have a lot of, you know, experience playing, you know, any other position. So, you know, we're going to allow him to do both when he gets here, do some returning and kind of figure out where that goes. And we're excited about that because we think he's really competitive. I think he's one of the most under-recruited kids in the entire country. So, you know, really excited for he and his family to be joining us. That being said, you know, again, I really excited about this class because, you know, we're here in signing day and we were already, you know, had our second mat drill and almost 4 weeks under our belt with our guys and couldn't be more impressed with these, with the way they've worked. They're very serious. They're a great fit. They're great kids. And the future's bright. So with that.
Open it up. Front row, middle, Dave.
Ryan, you mentioned the landscape has changed dramatically as far as signing day and everything. When you talk to your fellow coaches and just your opinion on this as well, do you guys feel like it should be, the early signing period should be maybe in late July at a different time? Just what are your thoughts about that? Because it seems so disjointed late December.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what it's done is it's just changed a lot of things. And I think anytime you make a change like that, the ripple effects, you don't know them until about 4 or 5 years out. So I think we're still working through that. And so then what it did was with the early signing days, it moved, you know, official visits to the spring. And then what that did is it took a little pressure off of January, put a ton of pressure in December. I mean, an unbelievable amount of pressure. I think with you playing a championship game and you have 1 week to go out on the road as the head coach, and you know, one of those, you know, or two of those are going to be some of those award nights, and you have to go see 14 mid-year guys from coast to coast when you recruit nationally like we do. It's almost impossible. So I think that's very hard. But what it's done is taken a little bit of, well, a lot of pressure off of January. What January has become is what old spring recruiting used to be. So I think we're still trying to adjust the calendar, and I think we have to be very careful about making any more adjustments until this kind of gets settled and we figure out what this you know, this model looks like here, and you know, really a 5-year window is my opinion.
You can talk about Kerry. Last time we talked to you, you couldn't really talk about Kerry. Will he be the one calling the defense, and will one of the guys be up in the box, either him or Greg Madison?
Yeah, so you know, it's kind of like, you know, the way that Kevin and I did it, and the way that they've done it in the past last year with Jeff and Greg. You know, I sat and had a great meeting with Larry, with Greg, and with Kerry, and just told them about how much respect I have for their experience. And, you know, whatever it is, they're going to go in that room and figure that out again this year. And like I say all the time, in college football, every year is a completely different year. And you have to go in and figure out what that year and what your personnel looks like and what the right things are. And they're going to go in there and do that. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, somebody has to walk out of that room with the final say, and that'll be Kerry. But they're all professionals, and they're all going to have their hand in this thing. And, you know, they're all team players, and they're all in this thing together, just like we are on offense.
Third row left, Dan.
Ryan, staying with Kerry for a sec, you talked about your philosophy that you have, and you kind of want that to stay the same. Obviously, Kerry's done some different things in his past and here and in the NFL. How do you guys kind of work together on that in terms of deciding what the best defense for Ohio State is in 2020?
Well, I think that's one of the things that, you know, I even brought it up in the meeting, just, you know, tell you how our meeting went. You know, I said I thought one of the things a couple years ago, you know, when I had an opportunity to come here was to look at what we were doing on offense. And, you know, I had a playbook this big coming from the NFL too, but that wasn't right. But one of the things that we added was the crossing package. And that was the right fit at the right time. And I said that to Kerry, whatever those things are, or whatever in Greg's past, or whatever in Larry's past, or with Al, or with Matt Barnes, whatever those right things are for who we have, that's the key to coaching. It's not coming in and just running blitzes because, or running coverages because you think that that's a great coverage or great blitz. It's what fits our personnel and what puts our guys in best position to be successful.
Also want to ask you about CJ Saunders. I know that he's still listed on the roster online. Are you guys still kind of waiting to hear what's going to happen with him?
We are. Yeah, we're waiting. We're looking to see if they'll grant him a 6-year.
How do you manage that in terms of scholarships, in terms of not knowing whether you're going to have to save a scholarship for him?
These things have their way of working themselves out, as we know, but that's also a tricky thing. And, we had to walk away from a couple guys here in February because, I didn't want to be put in that situation. We'll see how these things work out in the spring, and obviously with the transfer portal, we never want to lose anybody, but you also have to forecast that out a little bit so you're not short. And then there's also medicals and different things that way. So, again, they have their way of working themselves out, and we're just going to try to forecast the best we can.
Fourth row left, Danny.
We spoke to a legend earlier, and he talked about placing an emphasis on going out and helping get the best receivers in the country to go against in practice. What does that say to you about the mentality of a guy who's looking to go out and get the best talent on the opposite side of the ball?
Yeah, well, I think that's a huge part of what we say in recruiting, is that when you look at what Jonah Jackson did this year, I think Jonah would sit up here and tell you that one of the things that really helped him become one of the top guards coming out this year was that day in and day out, he was practicing against Devon Hamilton and Chase Young and B.B. Landers and Jayshon Cornell. Or that, what made Jeff Okuda great, I think Terry McLaurin did and Paris Campbell. And, there are scouts and head coaches and GMs that when they come in for pro day, they actually will sit down and watch our one-on-ones. They won't actually watch a bunch of game. They want to see how our guys look against Denzel Ward. What did that look like? What did it look like when Thayer was blocking Chase Young? Because we know what Chase Young is. And so when you're playing against really good players day in and day out, your development happens faster. And that's one of the things we talk about a lot, and that legend's right. I mean, if you're going against Julian, you're going against Chris Olave, you're going against Garrett Wilson or Jamison Williams, just like these guys have done here in the past, then you're only going to get better. And there's a great template for that in our past, and we continue to use that in recruiting.
You mentioned Julian. What separates him as one of the nation's best receivers?
I think he's physical. He's big. He's strong. He's mature. I think so far his work ethic has really shown that it matters to him. He really cares. His attention to detail is strong already as a young young player. But we'll see. We haven't gotten the field yet. But his playmaker billing, God's given him some great talents. And then how does he create this? This discipline and skill that he needs to play at this level, and that'll be between he and Hart. But I think he's got the right tool set and he's got the right mentality.
Second row left, Ari.
Hey, Ryan. When you guys were at the, throughout the entire process and even at the end, it seemed like you guys wanted to take two running backs. And I know you had to walk away for one because of what Dan was saying with the spots, but is Cameron Martinez a potential solution to that? Is that what you were implying when you said offense? Is he a running back in college, maybe?
He could be, yeah. Yeah, he could be. I mean, you saw what he did in his highlight film when he was a running back. He has the ability to do that. We're going to start him at that H who can kind of come in the backfield, like you said, and take some handoffs. And who knows? We don't know. That's what's exciting about him. And I think he does have the ability, or he could go play nickel or go play corner. And I think that's what's exciting about Cam. We're going to allow him to have a lot of feedback in this. We want him to be, have a bunch of say in what he likes and feels most comfortable with. But, yeah, he's definitely an option.
As a coach, I know that you have a strong bond with a guy like CJ because he's been a captain and in this program for a long time, but you also have numbers that you have to hit. How do you strike that balance emotionally when you have to sometimes make a hard decision between do you take the next guy that, the other running back you were recruiting was a really good player. Do you take the next guy or do you stick with somebody who's been around for a while?
I think that one of the keys right now to our success and moving forward, a year into this, is the balance of young, talented recruits who come in here who want to play early, and then having the maturity of guys who are fourth and fifth year seniors who have been in the program, who bring a certain level of leadership and maturity that the team needs to go win the whole thing. And I think balancing that is part of the job as the head coach and figuring that out. And CJ's maturity, his leadership, the talk he gave at the Big Ten championship game at halftime was unbelievable. Guys like Justin Hilliard getting up in front of the group already in mat drills and just talking about a bunch of stuff moving forward. We need that leadership. We need that maturity because, we do recruit a lot of young, talented guys, but You don't want to have an immature group when it goes to, you know, got to go play those games and those bowl games in January. And so that's the balance that we're in, trying to, you know, figure out that chemistry.
One last thing. There were a few players out there that said they watched the Fiesta Bowl at home, and then when they came here to Ohio State, they were coming at the same time that the team was returning who played in the game. And so they lived through the pain and the things that you guys had to revisit and break down when they got back, and they felt like they lost the game too. And one of them even said that they almost cried while watching some of the stuff. Is that when you know you've got the right thing cooking here, when people that haven't even been here yet or weren't playing in the game are feeling the pain that you guys are feeling like it happened to them?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think that the way that we're recruiting right now, and like you said, there's a family atmosphere here right now. And I think you know, these recruits and their families will see as time goes on, just like we talked about, they're going to be treated the same way they're recruited, and that we are recruiting this thing tight, and that you are a family. This is not, certainly is a business side to it, but it's not a business. It's a family, and we've been talking about that all along. And so even through the recruiting process, we start to recruit at such a young age that relationship really builds over time. And it's, you know, you're talking about years. You know, Paris Johnson, you know, we were recruiting him, Jackson Smith. These guys have been 2 years in, so certainly the relationship's gotten stronger as we've gotten into it. And so even when they come in here for their first day, the relationship's been building here for multiple years before they get here.
Right next door, Bill.
Ryan, along the lines of Kerry and Greg and those guys figuring out what works best for your defense, is that within the framework of the single high shell you guys did last year, or is that also adaptable if that's what your personnel dictates?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to start off with, you know, where we started, and then figure out what the adjustments are going to be from there. I think that was we played off each other really well, you know, last year. I think it's the right thing to do personnel wise, but there's certainly things that we can do to adapt, to evolve as time goes on, for sure.
In this class, it seems like there are maybe more guys than usual you could look at and see a couple different positions for them in their future, whether that's some guys in the offensive line or in the secondary or linebacker. Is that by design to recruit guys who are versatile like that and might have different paths, or did it just kind of work out that way with this class?
Well, you want to get the right fit. So first off, you know, you got to figure out academically if it's the right fit. You have to figure out socially if it's the right fit. The family. The personality, the work ethic, all those things, and so then you start talking about football, and then you try to go, okay, get the best available, and if that means it's somebody who's versatile, we'll figure that out. If it's something that's very specific and this is their job, then we'll recruit them too. Like DeJuan Jones is only going to play tackle. That's all he's going to play, and that's fine. That's good because he checked all those boxes along the way. But so much of it for us is the culture fit.
Does it change what you're? Board might look like at all in terms of position? Like, say, just for instance, if you say we're light on defensive ends, we need defensive ends, but we recruit a kid like Mitchell Melton, for instance, who is a linebacker but could eventually project to that. Like, do you see him as filling that need, or do you have other guys like that in this class too who, well, maybe on paper don't look like they'd fill a need but could down the road?
Yeah, but for the most part, we bring them in. You know, I think Cam's probably an exception for the most part. You know, Mitchell is going to play linebacker for us, and most of the guys that we bring in for a certain role.
Front row right here, Austin.
Ryan, when Cam said that he needed more time and wasn't going to sign in December, how did you react to that?
Well, I totally understood. You know, I talked about, you know, the continuity, and that I'm going to go hire the best coach I can in the country. And you know, Kerry was my number one pick, and that worked out. You know, and a place like Ohio State, you're going to have great coaches here. And you know, I told him it's my job to make sure he has the best coach he can possibly have, and that way that's what we're going to do. But at the same time, I told him if he needs to go look at other places, that he can do that. I said, I'm not going to like that too much, but at the same time, I respect your family enough that you can go ahead and go check some places out. And I never really ended up doing that, but I think he really understood that and respected the fact that, you know, we didn't hold him to the fire or anything like that. We said, listen, you want to go check out some schools, you know, feel free. Once, you know, we get the secondary coach and coordinator in place, I know you're going to love it. And he did, and it all worked out.
I mean, you did that. You had to deal with that a little bit with Paris. Legend went through it. I mean, they're not all the same case, but like, some schools issue these ultimatums and stick by it. Why is this the approach that you go with?
Well, I think that I was talking to Kerry about this. You know, when there used to be a time where at 7:01 you were checking the fax machine to see if things were coming through, and, you know, we weren't doing that with Cam because – the relationship's been built, and I think, you know, in today's day and age, you know, whether you sign or not, if the kid's not happy or doesn't really pick the school for the right reasons, he's going to enter the transfer portal and leave anyways. So it's not about just getting a kid to sign on the dotted line. It's not that way anymore. Now it's having trust and having the relationship with the family and, you know, common respect for each other that things are going to go in a certain way. And I think that's the way it is with Cam, and I think that's the way it is with all the recruits, and that they know they're going to be treated the same way that they're recruited. I mean, treated the same way they're here as when they were recruited.
Front row middle,
Joey. Ron, you mentioned kind of at the top of how anticlimactic the stay is. Since the early signing period coming, you signed 5 guys in February 2 years ago, 2 last year, 1 this year. How much of a priority is it to build the class and have them all intact in December?
Well, I just think based on how many guys want to come at mid-year, I think that's important, and I think that's the trend, although we don't really prefer it one way or the other. You know, if somebody feels like they want to be here there for their senior year, you know, we don't put any pressure on them. That's their decision. But we also see the benefit of it. And being here and going through these mat drills and going through spring practice and being here for 6 months before you start preseason camp certainly helps. And so the more of those situations that we can have, you know, the more those guys are going to have an opportunity to play. And as that is the trend, then, you know, we want to be on the front end of it. But I do think, like you said, that the December signing period has just kind of moved everything up, and that's really when everybody's signing nowadays. I think the numbers are well over 95% of everybody signs.
Did that surprise you at all, like when this rule first came into effect?
Well, again, anytime you change a rule, I've learned this at a young age, that there's so many other things that come with it. There's a ripple effect of things that happen that you don't quite know at that time. And, you know, at the time we thought that, you know, the guys who committed early would just – you know, kind of signed, and maybe there'd be a third of them or maybe half at the most. But I don't think anybody saw this many people signing this early.
And just one more. One of the kickers, Jake Siebert, who signed in December, will he be on scholarship this year? Does he grayshirt? Will he count toward the 85 this year?
Well, that'll just depend on how things go, but we do have some flexibility with that one.
Front row left, Nathan.
Just to clarify, Kerry is the only guy who will have defensive coordinator with his title. Nobody else on the staff will have, as it was.
So Greg will be co-defensive coordinator. Yeah, so that didn't change. But then as we brought Kerry in, we gave him the defensive coordinator title.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you... Okay. We've talked a lot about Mookie and just kind of his size and how that's an asset there. Is there also sort of mentality that you feel like a slot guy needs to have, and how does he fit into that?
Yeah, he's, like you said, very versatile. He's an inside receiver who can operate in short areas, you know, got that good burst and, you know, really good with the ball in his hands. You know, we're hoping that he can do some returning for us and those type of things. But yeah, there has to be a toughness inside. And you know, we look at the best slot receivers. There's an edge. There's a toughness in there because they're going to have to catch the ball over the middle. They do most of their work inside the hashes. And you're dealing with safeties and you know, linebackers. I mean, you're going to take some hits in there. So you have to be tough. And if he's going to motion to the backfield and do some of those things we have with Paris and those guys, we toss it to him on speed sweeps or hand it to him on different things. You know, he's going to have to be a little bit like a running back as well, and reverses and those type of things.
Are you using Paris at both tackle spots right now, and is it tougher to bring a true freshman like that and try to get him up to speed on both sides of the ball, or is there enough?
It's still too early for that, you know. Whether we start him at left or right, you know, Stud will figure that out here as we get into March.
Front row right, Bill.
When Kerry was here the first time, he prided himself on, we only play or almost exclusively press man-to-man coverage. Obviously, you guys have gotten away from that to some degree. What's the understanding of the balance now with Kerry coming back?
So I think it's going to be a combination like it's been. You know, I think there's just a lot of different things at play now. You know, he certainly has 2 more years of experience in the NFL of different coverages. And, you know, what we've done, I think, with the cover 3 stuff has been really good for us, and we want to keep building off of that. But then, like you said, also diversify. And I think that you know, there was a time where that was, you know, that trend was really strong, and I think it's kind of gone the other way now. And so, again, if it's playing more man-to-man, we will, but we'll have to just kind of decide over the next month, and then as we get through spring ball, see how our guys are, see what fits, and go from there.
What kind of jolt has his personality given to the coach's room?
Jolt? Well, there's a lot less coffee right now in the building. Everybody's drinking like 4 cups of coffee a day, I mean 4 pots of coffee a day, but you can hear him coming down the hallways, you can hear him outside. I said to somebody, he had more like tweets and a hashtag in the first day than I had in like the last month. You know, he's out in front of it. But I think what happens, I think the guys, you know, they really feel his energy. He's very positive. And the guys feed off of that. The players feed off of that. You know, he's strong and he's out in front and he's got a lot of energy, but when you listen to his message, it's always positive. And he's in their ear and he's talking about how to be elite. He's talking about toughness and he's talking about all the right things. And I think he has a tremendous skill set. Not too many guys have had the opportunity to be head coach in high school, coached and won a national championship, coached first rounders at Ohio State, also coached in the NFL, and now has a comeback, you know, chance to be a coordinator. So unique resume, and we're obviously really excited to have him back.
And one real quick question about Paris Johnson. How realistic is it for him to be able to really compete for a starting job as a true freshman?
Yeah, I mean, I know that's his mindset right now, you know, and you know, he's going to have to do that. But you know, you don't know where that where that goes or anything like that until we get into August. But right now, it's learning the playbook. You know, learning where to go to class, learning all that stuff, learning the calls. He'll do that. He's very detail oriented. You know, he wants to do it right, and he's very determined. And you know, we got high hopes for him.
Front row left, go.
Talking to both Jack and CJ out there today, they both understand the idea that it's not all that common to have two quarterback recruits that highly ranked in the same class. We know every position here has competition. Even if the guy's not in your same class, you're going to have competition. But how are you going to monitor that? Because it is just a little unusual. And what have you guys sensed at all with the Jack and CJ relationship just in the short time they've been here?
I think they both started off really well. You know, they really haven't been in the classroom all that much. It's really been mostly just on the field and competing, and they're both off to a good start. But it's not going to be any different than if those guys were in different years. They're still going to have the same reps. They're still going to compete the same way. And it's okay to have really good quarterbacks in a room together, you know, in an offense that's exciting, and we're going to keep developing quarterbacks the way that we have. And I know that that's a huge part of why they're here. And regardless of how it all plays out for either of them, they're going to get developed at a high level. They're going to be exposed to a high level of offense, and they're going to be coached, you know, the way that they want. They get a chance to compete against really good players, and they get a chance to sit in there with Justin and see what it's like to be around a Heisman Trophy finalist and be in an offense that's had two Heisman Trophy finalists in the last 2 years. And, you know, that's part of it. So regardless of how it all plays out for them, they're going to keep growing year after year.
When you were here when you were an assistant and Kerry was an assistant, like, what did you think of Kerry back then, and what did you think when he left? Why do you think he left?
Well, I obviously had a lot of respect for what he's done in his past. I knew that when I came in here. And then I just, you know, watched the way he worked and the way his players played for him and just the energy he brought every day. And I love that part of his game. You know, I thought, you know, he wanted to go experience what it was like to go coach in the NFL. And, you know, a guy that you know, he coached with before, and Mike Vrabel, who obviously we all have a lot of respect for here, and you know, see what that was like. And he did, you know, but I think he just had that feeling he wanted to get back into coaching college kids again.
And I'm squeezing this together into one question so I don't go too far.
Well, are we close to the over-under right now or no?
This is just one. Might have three parts. What made you think that you could get him back? And then also, you talked about sort of with hiring Corey that you would like some continuity here. You know, you guys played a defensive coordinator in the playoff who's been there 8 or 9 years and has a lot. Brent Venables could have gone a lot of places, but he stayed, especially at that coordinator level. How do you strike the balance between, I want the very best guys who are going to have opportunities, but I also don't want guys who are going to leave every year? Like, that seems like a very hard balance
to
try to strike.
It is. I mean, you look at LSU, I mean, they just won the whole thing, and, you know, they lost both their coordinators, and, it's something that goes on throughout the country, and I certainly think that what Dabo's done with Brent and Brent staying there is tremendous, and that has a lot to do with why they've been so successful. But, you know, I think at Ohio State you have to keep looking at it like, go get the best, but get the right fit. And I think when you look at what Kerry's background is, it is the right fit for us. And I know Kerry wants to be here. He wants to be here for a long time. His family's in Ohio, and, you know, he's kind of tasted the NFL. So I'm hoping that he's here for a long time, and I think that's the best you can do.
Got time for just a couple more for the second row left, Tony?
I've got the under, so.
So you'll pass.
The receiver, the inside receivers, you've talked CJ, Lukey, Jackson said he's starting inside. Is it because you need to replace KJ? Is that why you have so many guys that you're looking at right now?
Yeah, I mean, if CJ were to get that sixth year, that would give us a little, that would give us a little bit of flexibility there. But right now, we had played in a little bit more 12 personnel last year, as you know, and then we had KJ, and we really didn't have, when we lost CJ, we didn't have an H that we felt great about that we could put in the game, to be frank. So that's a huge deal for us, is trying to figure out where that inside guy is going to come from. But then again, really, you know, the only guy that's really been a starter is Chris. So all those other guys, Garrett and Jameson, all those guys got to step up. And then you're talking about Jalen Harris, and you're talking about Elijah Gardner, and some of those, you know, Jalen Gill, those guys got to step their game up now. You know, it's kind of, this now they're 3 years into the program, they have to take the next step for us. So, yeah, I mean, H is a concern, but really all those positions are.
Does Jackson have a legit shot to get in that too deep?
Yeah, they all do. They all do. I mean, yeah, there's not like we're coming back with, you know, five or six returning starters like we have in the last couple of years. So that's a huge emphasis point. So Brian's got to, you know, he's got his hands full this spring of making sure that we get guys ready to go.
And final question, over here to the right, Clay.
When you took over, it seemed like Buckeye Nation was like, yeah, this guy can coach. He can coach quarterbacks. He can score points. He can run an offense. But the thing I heard was, wow, can he recruit like Urban? How much did that motivate you, and how satisfied are you that it's pretty good course right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I don't get too much into reading all that stuff. But certainly, you want to prove yourself as more than just, like you said, an offensive guy. And so, yeah, we're competing at the highest level and trying to recruit the best players. But again, for us, it goes back to the fit. I mean, we want to have great players. I mean, the best players in the country, but the right fit for this program and this culture. I think that's what I'm the most proud of right now. When you look at the kids that are coming into this program, when you look these guys in the eye, they are beautiful kids, and they're made of the right stuff, and they have the right work ethic, the right families. And so, you know, and we're getting ahead in recruiting right now, and it's exciting to be a part of Ohio State, which in that case, it's fun to be the head coach.
Coach, thank you very much.
Thank you.